above Jesus. Today I'm going to ask you a question. What do you want to see? Now, that can be a personal thing. And while you're doing that, I'm going to turn in the scripture, and I want you to think about the question, because I'm just going to shoot it at you, and then just expect a response, okay? And I do want to get a response. But I want you to turn to the book of Mark. That's why I need Garth Brooks. Not Garth Brooks, but I need his headset, okay? Oh, Jesus. Oh, no, I need his, you know, his headset, because I use my hands and you know, and I'm a hands person. And I also move around, and that's okay, you know. Sorry, I'm not cool, calm, and collected, okay? All right. I am collected, but not. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, okay? And then after I read this scripture, I'm gonna come down here in the audience, and I'm gonna ask that question one more time. What do you want to see? What do you want to see in your own life? What do you want to see in ministry? What do you want to see for your purpose? What do you want to see? And I need your response, okay? I mean, I wish we could go around and get everybody, but I can't get everybody. Let me tell you something, and Roman knows this problem. Yeah, he does. But listen, if I can do this at the primary school, surely you all can help me out, okay? Surely. If I can do it with primary kids, surely you all can help me out. Amen? Is that all right? Let me tell you something. Last Tuesday night, I went to regional to do ministry, jail ministry. And I saw a unit there, probably 4C, I believe, or 4A. But these men, there's about 15 come in. They all sit down. Let me tell you something. They sit there, and they would not let a word go. They just like, the word of God was shared, and I was sharing with Kathy. She I came in, and she said, how did the service go? I said, it was amazing. Because every person responded, every man responded, as though every word gave them hope. There was nobody there distracted, looking around, looking at their watch, looking at their in their pocketbook, you know. There's nobody jumping up and down, running. It's like they wouldn't let a word go. They held on to every word because they found hope in that every word. And they all responded. And these men, when they get out, they want to come here. They said, where is this place? Well, you know, and we were telling them. I like what somebody said about, what was that about non-judgment? It was a non-judgment zone. Yes, that the officer of the over at the bridge yesterday said, this is a non-judgmental zone when you come in this area. I want you to know something. The moment you step on this property, it's a non-judgmental zone, okay? I'm not going to judge you because I've been broken. I've been blind Bartimaeus. I've been the woman with the issue. I have been the leper, amen? So why do we look at other people and maybe judge them because they're going through something or have been through something that maybe is a little bit different than what we have? The truth is, we've all messed up, amen? We've all messed up, and we all need who? Jesus. Amen. All right. Oh, Jesus, I'm not even got started yet, okay? All right, this is in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Are you with me today? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, there's a few people with me. All right. I'm excited, Jenny. This is an awesome privilege. Do you realize what you're doing is a powerful privilege? Wow. Do you realize that, Heath? I know. This is a powerful thing. We get to open doors. of life, and we get to share the word of truth with you. So if you can and able to stand, let's stand in reverence to the word and respect to the word. Not respect to me, but it's in respect to the word of God. Okay? Let's do that. And Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And then they came to Jericho. You saw that imagery. And he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. And a great crowd was following him. You got to understand, a great crowd was following Jesus. A great crowd was following Jesus. Why would such a great crowd follow Jesus? Think about that for just a second. I'm still going to ask you the question. I want you to think about why a great crowd would have been following Jesus. Well, let me tell you, no other man ever spake like this man. Oh, Jesus, you're going to have to stir them up, Lord. I don't have that power and ability to stir their minds and their hearts, but think about it. Never a man ever spake like this man. He didn't speak as the other scribes and the Pharisees spoke. He spoke as one having authority. When he spoke, he backed it up with what he would do, with truth and evidence of that truth. Something happened. Wherever Jesus went, something happened. Something happened. Jesus just didn't come by somebody's house without something happening. How many knows that? Something today is getting ready to happen in this place. Jesus just doesn't show up for no reason. Something's going to happen. Whoa. Oh, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. When a crowd come by, they were anticipating when they heard Jesus, there the crowd was, because they anticipated something happening. They anticipated hearing his words, because he never spoke like any other man. Not only did he not speak like any other man, oh, listen, some said that he raises the dead to life. I heard that. I heard that. This is a conversation you can imagine in the crowd as they were anticipating Jesus and following him. Some say he raises the dead to life. Amen. Is there a crowd here today that can verify that Jesus still raises the dead? You said, I've never seen anybody dead raised. Whoa. You don't have to look any further than the end of your nose to know that Jesus raises the dead. He quickens the dead who have been dead in trespasses and sin. That's a type of death. And he literally raises people from the grave, from the dirt. Wow. So some say he raises the dead. Some say he opens blinded eyes. Some say he has authority over demons. He just calls them out and they have to flee. They have to flee. Some say he causes the cripple to walk. I heard this story about four men taking a crippled man who could not walk himself. They took him to a crowded house where Jesus was. And you know what? Nobody could get in. These men had so much faith that they climbed up the house, climbed up on top of the house. They ripped the tile off the roof, and they let this crippled man down in the middle where Jesus was. And Jesus healed that man, and he got up, and he took his bed, and he walked. Amen. Somebody said Jesus heals the cripple. Does he still heal the cripple? Does he heal still? Oh, somebody said, if I could see somebody crippled heal, I would believe. Oh, but you were lame. You were crippled. Your heart was crippled. Your life was crippled. Your life was broken. But the blind man healer, the leper cleanser, the one who walks on water, reached out and touched your crippled life and restored you to life. Amen. That's weak. If you're going to praise Jesus, don't do it with two fingers. Okay, I said that was weak. Some say he just touches a leper and his skin's made perfectly whole. Wow. Somebody even said, I heard this one story. This is the crowd talking. I heard this one story where he was on the sea with his disciples. And he came walking to them on the sea that night. And one of his disciples named Peter got out of the boat and walked to him. And he sunk and Jesus lifted him up. And some others say that he was on the boat with his disciples and a great storm blew up on the sea of Galilee. And he got up from that ship and went to the helm of that ship and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. You see, the crowd was following Jesus because they knew what Jesus could do. They had needs and they knew that those needs could be met. You know what? There's a crowd of people here today. We're all here and we believe that there is no other name above the name of Jesus. We believe that he is able to do that. Amen? We believe that. So if we believe that today, then why not today? Why not right now? This could be your moment where you see again. Okay, I'm finishing. And the Bible said, they begin to shout out. I'll let you sit down just a second, guys. I used to stand all day teaching, and I know you can stand just a minute or two, okay? All right. They begin to shout out Jesus. Sometimes people criticize us because we shout the name of Jesus at the beginning of the service. I just want you to know who Jesus really is. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not just, how many knows it's not just saying the name of Jesus, it's how you say the name of Jesus. Amen. Because something is mixed and blended with that name. And with this man, when he cried out different from the crowd because his faith was reaching out. And the only thing accessible to him was his voice. And he heard Jesus walking by and he shouted real loud. Amen. And the whole crowd was shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have pity upon me and have mercy upon me. This man was acknowledging that Jesus was the Messiah, the true Messiah. No, not many people called him the Son of David. That was full acknowledgement that he was Jesus, who he said he was. And many severely censored and reproved him. Many tried to keep him quiet. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Telling him to keep still, but he kept on shouting out the more. Wow, I love that. I love that. Do you know somebody's trying to quieten your shout? Somebody's trying to quieten your praise. Do you know that? Somebody wants you to act dignified and all proper and all big. But you know what? Can the devil stop your praise? And Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. He got his attention. We're almost at the end of the text. And said to him, and they called the blind man. Jesus said, call him. And they called the blind man, telling him, this is what we got to do today. Take courage. Woo, take courage. Get up, because he's calling you. Take courage. Get up, because he's calling you. Amen. Take courage. Get up from where you are, because he's calling you. Jesus is calling some people today. Amen. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? In verse 50, and throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Master, let me receive my sight. In other words, I just want to see. I just want to see. I just want to see. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. You may be seated for just a few minutes, okay? How many knows that's a word? Some people today are here to receive that word. And I'm not being critical, but some people will go out here and nothing change. You're still in a pitiful state of dysfunction. Nothing changed in your life because you didn't take courage. You didn't get up when he called you. How many wants to be somewhere different than where you are now spiritually? And when I say that, I mean, it could mean further up the road, Jason. How many wants to be further up the road spiritually? Anybody in here today? Anybody in here need to know Jesus more? You need to love him more? You just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. So here we are. I need a blind man. I need a blind man. T-Dot. The Lord says, you're my blind man today. Come up here, brother. Because you once were blind, but now you see. Amen. Have you ever been blind? I said, have you ever been blind before? We can be blinded by many things. I'm going to talk about that just a second. We can all be blinded by something. We can all be blinded, Rick, by something. We can all be blinded by something. Jesus told a group of people, I want you to be the blind Bartimaeus beside the road coming out of Jericho. Sorry, can you come and help me out here? I'm fumbling with a microphone and trying to dress people up and nobody just sitting there looking. I'm giving a rough term. Oh, she's going to kill me later. She's going to say, don't you do that to me. No, she won't. No, she won't. Can you relate, Josh? Joyce, maybe? I don't know. All right, here's a blind man. And you got to see, you know, the Bible says that he was blind, Bartimaeus, in the book of Mark. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, it says a blind man. But it's one of the very few places in Scripture where Jesus gives reference to the person's name before he heals them. Or context, or Scripture is made to his name, reference to his name. Everybody's got a name, right? But there are some people who live a faceless life, a nameless life. And we talked about one of those wins tonight, the woman with the issue of blood, until she met Jesus. And Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you whole, daughter. Hallelujah. Everybody matters. Amen. Haven't you ever seen that before in a shirt? Everyone matters. Turn to somebody around you and tell them, everybody matters. Now, I have gotten chastity myself into such a powerful place, I don't know what to do. But this blind man was sitting beside the road. Like all the other people who were halt, lame, or blind, they sat beside the road. You got to understand, Jericho was a busy place. It wasn't just any place. We know Jericho in the Old Testament because the walls come tumbling down. But it was a very commercialized, very, very prominent place. An intersection where there was a lot of business. A lot of people coming in and out of Jericho. It's also known, the road to Jericho, as a place where a lot of thieves hung out. And they stole from people. But this man, as Jesus and his disciples were coming out of Jericho, he was sitting beside the road. And all he could do every day was beg. Every his whole life consisted of the same thing every day. Have you ever been in that rut before, where every day was the same thing, the same way, the same time you get up, the same thing, the same way, the same time? Do you know what? Our misery can be the same thing. Our dysfunction can be the same thing. Every day is the same thing. Every day is the same thing. I'm sitting beside the road and everything is passing me by. There are people sitting beside the road today and life is passing them by. Jesus is passing them by. But today is your day. You also know why? Jesus is passing by you. So he had nobody but himself. And he was blind. He was blind. He was blind. He was blind. Imagine if you could. It doesn't say that he was born blind. There are some people in the Bible that Jesus healed were born blind. But this man, it doesn't say if he lost his sight by injury or accident or a disease or if he was just born blind. It doesn't say he was blind. All that matters is that he was blind and that he needed to do what? Okay. Now my question to you. What do you want to see? What do you want to see for your life? What do you want to see as vision or visionary for ministry? What do you want to see in your own personal life, in your family, your career, whatever the case may be? I need an answer right now. What do you want to see?
More people saved.
Oh.
More people saved. More people to come to Christ and understand that it's not about you anymore. It's about the next person in line. I want people to see the best in somebody when they see him. Like when I ask somebody to come to church, I just don't see them coming to church and sit, filling the pew. I see them going to work for the kingdom.
Amen. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Do you know that everybody wants to see? I promise you this. If you had no eyesight, you'd give anything to have your eyesight back. If you had no vision, or you had obscure vision or blurred vision, or you had an eyesight problem, let me tell you, you would go to whatever expense medically to have your sight restored, because everybody wants to see. Amen. Everybody wants to see kids play in the open field. Everybody wants to see the suns rise and set. Everybody wants to see the waves at the ocean, the powerful waves breaking and coming in and going out. Everybody wants to see the laughter and smile on someone's face. Everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to see the beautiful color that God campus landscapes the earth with, the beautiful flowers and the beautiful trees. Listen, I may mean simple-minded, but one of the most beautiful things that we have in our area are the green mountains in which we worship under. Amen. Oh, I thank God that I can see. I thank God that I can see. Oh, if you were blind and you've never seen, you'd want to see. You'd want to see the face of that loved one who loved you and cared for you. You'd want to see your child run and play ball. You'd want to see, yes, the beautiful mountain peaks. You'd want to see the beautiful flowers. You'd want to see all of these things. You'd want to see the rain coming down, not just hear it. Nothing more relaxing than rain coming down, right? When you're sitting out on your porch. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I thank the Lord for that. That's a powerful blessing, just to hear the rain coming down. But you know what? I want to be able to see that rain too. I want to be able to see those spring flowers grow up. Everybody wants to see. Everybody say, I want to see. What do you want to see? What do you want to see?
I want to see more people actually get it. grab a hold of who God really is and what all of our purpose is and follow that 100% with everything.
Amen. Amen. What do you want to see? What do you want to see, Joyce? It's not your comfort zone.
Not at all. I want to see the visions and the dreams that we have heard from our remnant kids. I want to live to see those things come to fulfillment in their lives, yeah.
Amen. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Do you want to see? Do you want to live the rest of your life blinded? Do you want to live blind? We want to see, right? We want to see. We want to see. We want to see. What do you want to see, Miss Ashley?
I want to see my kids draw closer to the Lord. And I see it a lot more recently. You know, Kinley was riding her bike the other day with her hands raised in the air singing for the whole neighborhood to hear. Singing about Jesus. And I just want to see that intensified.
What do you want to see, Pastor?
I want to see the kingdom evidenced in this region and this earth. And I want to see no more drug addiction. I want to see no more revolving door in prisons. And I want to see the power of God on the streets and the marketplace and the schools.
Remember, he said beside the road. Now, this is a fast train. And we're gonna tie this boat here just in a few minutes. So I want you to hang on with me just a minute. Powerfully important about this man. So much we can learn. And I've heard Miss Kathy here teach on this so powerfully back through the years about blind Bartimaeus. Even though Jesus, he's identified by his name, he was still identified by his dysfunction. He was blind Bartimaeus. How many in here today don't want to live under a label the rest of your life? You don't want to live under a label of a dysfunction or a problem that has strapped you and held you down and kept you blind. That you don't want to be ostracized and left beside the road begging. You got to see, he was not just a blind man, he was a beggar. That's how he made it every day. He depended upon what he could get as a busy commerce walk to and fro to Jericho and from Jericho. And that's what he depended on. And he would holler alms. But one day was different than all the other day. There's always a day that's different than all the other days. Can I tell you one of them? The day you found Jesus was different than all the other days. Did you see that, Rick? The day you found grace is a day different than any other day of your life. Amen. Oh, I want to see. I want to see. I don't want to live in a mansion somewhere. I don't want to have a lot of cars. I don't want to have fancy clothes. I don't want to have all this stuff. I don't want to have notoriety and fame. I just want to see. If you were blind, that would be the cry of your heart. I just want to see. Anybody in here want to see? Let me tell you something significant about why Jesus was passing by him. And don't you dare think that Jesus didn't know that blind Bartimaeus would be there. Oh, just like the woman at the well. Just like the woman with the issue. Don't think that Jesus didn't know that those people would intersect him at that place in their life. And life would change and never be the same from that moment forward. Let me tell you why it's significant for Jesus and those disciples. As he was leaving Jericho, he would never pass that way physically again. Oh, let me say that again. because we're all counting on tomorrow's miracle. We're always counting on what God is going to do tomorrow. And the best is yet to come. I believe that. And I'm a firm believer in that. But today, your miracle is passing you by here today. And the question is, do you want to see? Do you want to see enough that you could be like blind Bartimaeus? You would have risky faith and, personify faith, that it becomes almost ridiculous what Bartimaeus did to get Jesus' attention. Would you do anything to get Jesus' attention? Are you guys with me? Are you looking through your purses? Are you looking for, something or something? Are you listening to what God's saying? Are you listening to what God's saying? Aren't you glad, Sister Rubel, that you've got a son? Yes, he may be incarcerated, but you know what? You know what he wants to see? You know what he told me? Pastor Art, when I get out of prison, I'm going to come, and I want you to disciple me, and I want to reach the attic. I want to reach the lost for Jesus. I want to tell my story, and I want you to show me and help me along the way. He wants to see. You ever heard this expression before? You can't see the forest for the trees. How many's ever heard that before? We can't see sometimes because we're looking at everything else. We're looking at everything else. We can't see the forest because of the trees. The trees keep getting in the way, but we lose vision of the broader scope, the broader vision of what God wants us to see. Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 8, when he was getting ready to go over across the other side with his disciples, and he asked him about the bread. And suddenly... Again, here we go, knuckleheads. Here we go again. They started wondering when Jesus said, "Do we have any bread?" You know what? They had forgotten the miracle of the fishes and the loaves. They forgot that Jesus multiplied the bread and gave them something to eat when there wasn't nothing to eat. But yet, here was a moment when Jesus started talking about bread that they couldn't be visionary. They lost their vision and they forgot what Jesus had done before. And Jesus had to get on them a little bit. Jesus had to get on them a little bit. And this is what Jesus said. "You have eyes to see, but yet you do not see. You have ears to hear, but yet you're not listening to what I'm saying." We all got eyes, physical eyes, and we may be sitting in this room with 20/20 vision today or something close to it. But have we been blinded by the trees? By the trees, by the trees. Jesus touched one blind man's eyes and he put mud on his face, on his eyes, and he told him to go wash, and he washed him, and he came seeing, but he saw men as trees. He saw men as trees. He didn't see them as people. In other words, his eyesight wasn't completely restored, and he only looked like trees walking around. He described it that way. But you know what? Jesus touched him a second time and he was restored and his eyes were restored. Some of you here have been touched before by God. But you know what God's saying today? You need another touch. Amen. You need another touch. Oh, come on. Help me out. Can you say you're sitting here and you don't need a touch by God? I wouldn't say that. I don't care if I was Billy Graham. I always need a touch from God. I need a fresh touch from God. I got up this morning and I needed a touch from God. And if God hadn't touched me, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. Amen. I'm going to need another touch of God when I climb up that mountain this evening. How many is getting where I'm saying? We're about ready to tie the boat here. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he was never going to pass through there again. In other words, when opportunity comes knocking at your door, you answer the door. When Jesus knocks at your door, by all means, my friend, you answer that door. Jesus may never pass by your house again. We can all fit scenarios out. Oh, you know, I hear people this for years. Well, if we don't have good service, we got next week. Oh, Jesus may come before next week, and you may just boop, you may just be out of here, or you may not be out of here. I don't know what your story is, but one thing for sure, when Jesus passes by, you better reach out to him and grab a hold of your opportunity. Thank you, blind woman. You're a good one, man. You're a good one. I'm going to need some help here. Okay, ready to tie the boat. You say, Pastor, hang on there, brother. Oh, because we got to get sight to blind Bartimaeus, right? He's got to see. How many Bartimaeuses are in here this morning? How many Bartimaeuses are in here sitting beside the road of life? Crippled and maimed by your dysfunction. We can all be blinded by all kinds of things. It's amazing how we don't think about this. We can all be blinded. We can all be blinded. We can be blinded by our fear, that we can't see anything above our fear, which Pastor Heath preached a powerful word about the other day. We can't see anything beyond our fear. Our fears is the largest thing that we see. We're afraid. How many knows you're more inclined to be afraid than not afraid? Can I say this to you, and are you listening to me? Maybe I need to come back and sit beside some of you and preach to you, serenade you with preaching, okay? Think about this. We all have been blinded by our fears. Fear isn't the absence of courage. Fear doesn't mean you don't have courage, and it doesn't mean you don't have faith. Somebody said, well, if I'm afraid, that must mean I don't have faith. Oh, you've got faith. I know you've got faith. But does your fear trump your faith? Jesus doesn't want our fear to trump our faith. He wants your faith to move beyond your fear and believe God for the impossible in your life. Amen. Regardless of your afraid. As Kathy said the other night in that story illustration of the missionary, do it afraid. Do you not think that Bartimaeus wasn't afraid? Do you not think that he was afraid, that he was scared, Juwan? I guarantee he was. We can all be blinded by fear. We can be blinded by rage or anger. Do you know rage and anger can blind you? Everybody gets mad. Anybody in here real today? Anybody ever get mad before? Let's see how many truthful people we got, Lord. You're counting every one of them. How many has ever got mad before? How many's ever really gotten real mad before? How many's ever really gotten real mad? How many's just got so mad you lost your cool, okay? Okay, thank you, Sal. You got your hand almost jumping up and down back there. Okay. You just lost your cool. You just lost your cool. How many's gotten so mad that you wanted to throat punch somebody and take them out? Come on, be real with me. Somebody say, I don't want to raise my hand because they won't think I'm spiritual. Whoa, Jesus. There have been times that you would have liked to laid your hand on a few people, and I don't mean pray over them. I mean take them out. Any real people here today? Get real. That's the only way God can minister you, if you get real in the grill, okay? Get real. We all been mad. Mrs. R's got mad at me a few times. And so deserving. She's probably wanted to throw a few things or throat punch me. She did hit me one day, but she didn't mean to, but I felt it. She's got a powerful wallop, I'm going to tell you. And I've got mad at her. And if we'll be honest, we've even got mad at God. Jesus, now. Whoa, just a minute now. God, now know who I just the other day, somebody texted me and messaged me and said, I'm having a problem because I've been angry with God. I've been upset with God. Do you think God is walking the floor losing sleep? He doesn't sleep. But do you think he's nervous and upset because you got mad at him? No. He isn't mad at you. Even though we get upset and we question God, and God, why? You know, we get mad, we get angry, right, Sister Charlotte? When you sit there in that chair and you said, I've had my last, and you fold your arms and you, I believe if I'm not mistaken, you said, God, I'm mad at you. Oh, how many real people here today? Oh, we get mad. There are people who, though, get mad. The Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. How can you get mad? Jesus got mad. Jesus walked into the temple and drove out the money changers, the thieves, and drove them out with a whip that he made, and turned over the tables and got real upset at him and said, you're desecrating the place of worship. And he got mad at him, sent him out. Be mad, be angry, but sin not. Don't just find a reason to get mad at a person. Get mad at the sin. Get mad at the problem. The real problem is the sin. That's what you get mad at. Amen. But we're blinded by rage and anger sometimes. And we've done a lot of crazy things out of anger. We've said things, right? We've done things out of anger and rage. Are you still with me? We can be blinded by hate. Let me tell you, God made all people, everybody, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. I'm glad I serve and worship a Jesus is a God of variety. He's a God of variety. He's got many flowers in his garden. He's got many colors of flowers. Imagine a world, living in a world where all the flowers were the same color. That would be pretty pitiful, wouldn't it? But you know what? God made us all to bring glory and honor to him and his kingdom. Amen. Don't you dare hate somebody because of their authenticity. You'll never get to heaven hating. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Listen, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? It's not right. It's not right with God. God won't tolerate it, and God will not bless your life. Oh, we can't hate people because of color, or hate people because of socioeconomic status. We can't hate people because of politics. We can't hate people because of where they are in life. Do this and you'll do well. Love God and love people. That's not hard geometry, is it? Love God and love people. Don't judge people. Love people. Amen. Come on. You guys are acting like you're about to sleep. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will not tolerate it. You want your life, but oh, I want to be blessed. Lord, I want to be blessed. But if you got hatred and prejudice in your heart, oh, listen, you'll not see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. That's not what I'm making up. That's what Jesus said. But we can be blinded by our hatred and our prejudice. Can we not see that? And I don't care what kind of political agenda you have. You can't get to heaven with hating people. Amen. Amen. We love everybody. God loves us all. And we all love God. Amen. Now some of you act like you're not going to ask me to dinner anymore. Well, you haven't the first time yet, okay? So you owe me one, okay? Hello? We're blinded by our fears, blinded by our rage and anger. We're blinded. We can be blinded by hate. Guess what? Oh, this is going to throw some of you. We can be blinded by love. Tweet, tweet. Hearts and birds and cupids. We can be blinded by love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't see the forest because of the trees. We can be blinded by something we think is so real. And I'm not saying that it's not real. But I'm saying if it's God's plan, it'll lead you in the right path, not down the wrong path. We can be blinded by love, or what we call infatuation. I'm going to tell you something right here. Love and lust are two different things. And we've all struggled maybe with all of them, both of them, at some time in your life. But they're two different things. How many knows they're two different things? Love leads us closer to Christ. A relationship you have with another relationship should leave you closer to Christ, not further from Christ. People say, well, I've been praying for a love soulmate for a long time, and I finally got one, and then they quit going to church. Or they quit serving God. And listen, I'm just saying, we've all struggled with issues, but I'm saying here today, we can be blinded by that love. We can be blinded by that love. We can be blinded. We can be blinded by religion and traditions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I've heard people get in my face, get in my grill, and said, you'll never tell me any different. That's the way I was raised, and that's always the way I'm going to believe it, and nothing's going to change my mind. Listen, if God can't change your mind, nobody's going to change your mind. Because listen, I've learned a lot of things in 40-some years, and God's had to teach me things that I stood on as gospel truth, but they had holes in them. They had no merit or substance. And God had to lead me in truth. The being led in truth is a constant thing. To know the truth, to be led in truth, is a constant thing. It's something that nonstop, it continues on. You don't just learn it all and expect to know it all. A man that thinketh he knoweth something, knoweth nothing. That's what the word says. I'm still learning, Joe. Can you believe it? This old crazy eagle is still learning. I'm still learning how to love people. I'm still learning how to reach people, Cassandra. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. How many still learning? I'm learning. So we got to get blind men. We got to get Bartimaeus healed. We can be all blinded by traditions and religion. And get messed up. But Jesus was passing by. Jesus was passing by. Give me Juan. I need me a Jesus. Will you be honored to be Jesus today? Those are some big shoes to walk in, man. That man. Whoa, those are big shoes to walk in. How many knows that walking in Jesus' shoes, Randall, is some big shoes to walk in. And so, John, Andrew, they were all passing by Jericho. Let's see. Jericho's going that way, so we're leaving Jericho. So let's go that way, okay? Come here. Let's go that way. And they're passing by. Passing by. But something happens. And as Jesus got by him, the crowd began to stir and they began to holler out, "Jesus!" People began to shout because wherever Jesus was, listen, you shout it like you need something today. You shout it like you. Listen, you imagine in their shouts if their life depended on it. Let me say again, their life depended on it. Has your life ever depended on Jesus before? Have you ever known that if I don't get help from Jesus, there's no help to be found? I'll never be any better. I'll never do any different. I've got to get to Jesus. I want to see him, Jason. I want to see him. I want to see him. I want to see him. And so they got away from him, and he's hollering pretty frantically, pretty ridiculous hollering, pretty ridiculous faith been exemplified here. He hollered in some of the crowd because they were afraid, Amber, that he'd probably get louder than they were. That he'd come to my need before he'd come to his need before he came to my need. Don't we all get that way sometimes? I won't mind, but when I got mine, well, you gotta just do the best you can. And the way we do sometimes. Oh, he hollered out. And some of them tried to say, "Be quiet. Yo, blind beggar, be quiet." You can imagine what they said. Okay? But the Bible said that he hollered even louder. Right. Jesus! This man will tell you and told you a little bit in his powerful story. I guarantee incarcerated in Mountain City, I guarantee he hollered from those prison cells and from those prison walls. But look at him today. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Think about that. Wow, and he hollered the more louder, and he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus just stopped right in the tracks. And he turned around. And he said, "Call him." So they went, and they called him. "Come to Jesus, he's calling you." Listen. This is not the time you get distracted. If you get distracted, this is not time for you to do it right now. I promise you. Okay? They brought this blind man. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? What do you want?
I want the drug problem gone in Wise County.
In other words, I want to. We want to.
We want to see.
We want to see. We want to see the drug problem annihilated. Annihilated. And it starts with a few people who can see. I'm sorry, Noah. I'm sorry. I scared her out of her gourd. It's just granddaddy, baby. This is granddaddy. It's granddaddy. Yes. It's granddaddy. I'm just preaching. Jesus has got a sense of humor, I know. Are you still with me? We're ready to tie the boat. I don't mean to be going on so long, okay? Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" And he said,
"I want to see.
I want to see." We want to see drugs. We don't want to just talk about drug problems until we're dead and going on to be with Jesus. Do you really want to see change in this area? Do you really want to see blinded eyes open? Do we really want to see blinded eyes open? That'll never happen until you see first. If you go bury your head in the sand and say, we have no problems, and according to statistics and everything that we've been talking about this week, and he's been seeing me, we're the number one area for pill pushers and addiction in the country. Number one city in the country. Can you imagine that? Somebody said, what is to be done? What is to be done? We need revival. Revival is not just a little collection of meetings. Revival is when your heart turns on fire and your passion for Jesus is greater than your dysfunction or struggle. I want to see change. I want to see people set free. And Jesus spoke to him. He said, then, why don't you just see? Be healed. See. And the Bible said, this is what happened. This is powerful. We leave this out. We get to that part, but we leave this out. And when the rest of the disciples just kept on trucking, just kept on coming, just kept on going. You know what this man did? He got right in line. Whoa, I'm going with some more of that. Does anybody in here today just want some more of that? Do you want some more of that? Are you just satisfied where you are? Are you dying on the vine and satisfied where you are? Then you got to do something. He told him, take courage. That means being able to, in spite of what your circumstances say, in spite of what people try to say, in spite of what people try to keep you from, you be about Jesus. You love Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you how to love Jesus. You love Jesus. You love him with your heart. You love him with your heart. You love him with your heart. Oh, I want to see. Then see, Jesus said. He's calling you. God's calling you today. He's calling blind people for your sight to be restored. And we can all be saved and born again and still live in partial eclipse. We can be blinded by different things. By some of the things and many more things that I've seen, we could have named here. And you guys have been awesome today. You all have been incredible. I felt such a powerful anointing here in this place. The other night I told Kathy the other night at that regional jail, I felt such a powerful anointing in that place. Those men didn't come. They just had their prison clothes on. They just sat there, but they hung on to every word as though they needed every single word. They wouldn't let anything escape them. And at the end, every one of these men said, Pastor R, I want to see. I want to see. We came up and had such a powerful prayer. Many of them left that room following Jesus. And many of them who were following Jesus said, I was strengthened and God give me courage. Because see, that's what Jesus told that man. He said, get up, take courage, and then get up. I'll promise you this, nothing will ever change in your life unless you're willing to leave the place where you are. Hello? I said, nothing will ever change in your life. You'll always have what you've always had if you always do what you've always done. If you want life to be different, if you want your life to be different, then do something different. And start with this. Get up. Just get up. Just get up. If God can't move you, then nothing will move you. Just get up from where you are and say, God, I want to see. I want to see more clear. I want to see as I should see. Help me to see. Help me to see the forest, Lord. Help me to see the vision. Help me to see. God's called this ministry to the vision of seeing and restoring sight to those who can't see. He has. Maybe Barnabas should be in there somewhere. Bartimaeus should be in there somewhere. I don't know. But God's called us to see. Do you see as clearly today? Or do you need to see more? You don't have to go down to Knoxville to see the dysfunction and the hurt there. You can see it around here. That's why God's called us in this coming month to move troops. We're going to move a troop into a couple of local housing project areas. And you know what we're going to do, Boo? First of all, I'm going to talk to you because your place is one of them that you work at. But what we're going to do is we're just going to load up the trailer and we're going to take Jesus on the trailer. We're going to move in and just love on them with hot dogs. And we're not going to take any requirement. We're just going to love on them. We're just going to love on them and share the love of Jesus with them. We're not trying to indoctrinate them. We're not trying to make them this or make them that. We just want to love on them and share Jesus' love. And whatever happens, happens. We pray that some will see. So today, do you want to see? How many here want to see today? I could ask you to bow your head, but I don't want to do that. I want to see. You know what? Both of my arms. So if you want to leave your hands down, that's fine. But listen, both of my arms want to go up because I want to see him more clearly. I want to see vision more clearly. I want to see the lost more clearly. I want to see the mission of the cross more clearly. And I want to see the things that I can do better to make that work. And if you're here today, what a powerful testament, man. Every one of you guys are a powerful testimony. But let me tell you something. Heath can tell you some stories. T. Doc can tell you some stories. This right here, brother, is a miracle. And God can give sight to T. Doc. They can all what?
Yeah, you can, man.
Look, I'm going to try to make this quick because, for one, I got to get back to Bristol and get to work here in a couple hours. But it's pretty amazing that he got me to be the blind man. For the simple fact that it wasn't even a year ago, I was completely blind, completely spiritually blind. I was openly denying that God existed. I was blinded by fear. I was blinded by love. And then I was blinded by depression whenever she left. And then I just got to a point that I didn't care about nothing. And then somebody came in, I got stabbed. And, you know, God saved me from that, but that ain't how I seen it. I had so much hate in me. I blame God for everything. You know, why ain't you answering this? Why ain't you answering that? What happened? You give me all this stuff to where I got stuff set up, and then right before I get out, you take it out. Now I'm gonna be homeless. I'm not gonna have a place to live. I'm not gonna have nothing. And I spiraled into a drug addiction. And it just went downhill. But whenever dude stabbed me, I was getting out in 7 months. And instead of just dealing with that right there, my first thing was, I'm going to do something to him because of all the hate in me. I'm going to do something to him. And I don't care if I got to do the rest of my life in prison because this is all I know anyways. And it was horrible. And I was just talking to Roman about it earlier. God started doing so much stuff in my life that I couldn't deny him. I had a pastor with the Hands and Feet Ministry come up and call me by my name. And he had spoke everything that was going on. Now, he called me a doubting Thomas, but my name's Thomas. And, you know, that right there. And then it was after that, everything started happening. And then one of the things, man, I was blinded by depression so bad. And it wasn't just from my girl leaving me. Man, it was from stuff I'd seen in prison. It was from things that had happened and knowing that I was going to have to get out with that. I got locked up whenever I was 17. And I didn't know anything. And here I was, like I said, homeless, everything like that right there. And then I'd watched. I'd had friends die in prison. I had friends commit suicide. And I was on that suicidal path. That's what I wanted. I wanted to die to get rid of the pain. But... One of the things that was real bad with me was that one of the people I met whenever I first came to prison, he hung himself on Valentine's Day. And I went in there and I gave him CPR. I come in because the police, whenever they open the door, they're not allowed to go in the cell. If you're sitting there hanging there, you just got to hang there until nurses get up there. And I pushed the police out the way and went in there and took the, he only had one arm, and he took the strap from his arm and put it around his neck and hung himself off the top bunk. And I took it off and threw it down, me and another guy named Mark, and I started giving him CPR. I took the little CPR kit off of the police's belt and started giving him CPR. And I got him to a heartbeat back. And he smiled. And he smiled, and I thought, man, Super Dave, come on, come back, man. Come on, man, you're all right. You're going home here soon. You're going up for parole here in a couple of months, man. Come on. But he was gone. And that smile messed with me. That smile messed my head up. Because in my head, I seen it that he was smiling because he finally got rid of the pain. He was smiling because he was dead. And it messed with me bad. And, man, whenever I finally met all these guys, and I got the closest to God I'd ever been. And I started to learn how to hear his voice. And I started learning how he talks to us, you know, and he does. He talks to us. He has to talk to you on your level. With me, one of the things that he did was he talked to me through a movie. I was sitting there watching a movie, and one of the things that out of nowhere, the only thing I even remember seeing out of the movie was, dude said, "You, a man can do anything once he accepts there is no God." And I was like, "That's what I'm doing." That's exactly what I'm doing. But, man, I got, like I said, I got real close with him. And everything was going good. And I didn't care. Like, hey, I might not have no place to live, but you know what? I'll go straight to the Salvation Army. And it is what it is. I'll do good. I don't care. And, man, I was in the shower one day, and I was praying. And all of a sudden, I wasn't in the shower no more. I don't know where I was, and I seen Super Dave. He had both arms. And he walked up, and he was smiling, and he knows Super Dave. Super Dave didn't ever smile. Super Dave walked around with this mug all the time, and, you know, you're stupid for being happy, all that right there, but I liked him. And he was smiling. And all he did is he come up and he said, "Thank you." Like that right there. And off of those two words, I understood everything. Off of those two words, it was like he said 1,000. And I understood that he wasn't, because he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe there was. Well, he believed in God, but he hated him. And, you know, and he was smiling because I might not have been able to save his life, but I got him enough consciousness to save his soul, and he got to make it to heaven.
T-Dot, and now you see. I was blind, but now I see.
That's one thing, like we talk about what we want to see. One thing I want to see, it's nothing about me, because God's leading my life where I need to go, and I'll take whatever needs to happen. But I know how worried I was about coming home and not having no place to go. And I know how scared I was and how nervous I was and how all that would do is feed that addictive mind in me. So, and one thing that I want to see is Pastor Steve Davis's house, his transitional house, expand. I want to see his house grow to what he visions, because he took me off of just coming up and talking to me. Now, a little bit about me is I used to be an Aryan, and this is a black man, and he come up and he seen me and never thought twice. He said, "Man, dude, you got locked up whenever you were 17. I get it. Tennessee prison's all gangs." And he took me in into a house that he wasn't even ready to run. He took me into a house that he's holding people, and he's the only one doing anything there, and has three other jobs. And I want to see him grow to what he envisions. Amen. And I've been helping him with his business plans, because that's kind of my forte. And I've been helping him with stuff like that right there, but I want to see it, so I'm asking everybody to please, man, put some prayers in for him. It's called the Gray House in Bristol, Virginia.
I want to see. How many wants to see today? I said, how many wants to see? Listen, I know what time it is, and God knows what time it is. And that doesn't shake God any 1 minute, okay? If you're here today and you want to see, I'm going to ask you to come today. I'm going to ask you to come and say, God, I want to see more clear.